Good morning, everyone. It's good to know that there are lots of people out there praising the Lord today. Well, some of you may have seen Bishop James's reflection this week on the parables about the mustard seed, the yeast, the treasure in a field, and the pearl of great value, and how they are all pictures of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we learn how precious are the things of the kingdom. They are of incalculable value, said Bishop James. And he goes on to say it's worth the effort that's expended in order to see the kingdom treasure grow as people's lives are transformed by the grace and love of God. And there are precious kingdom treasures to be found in this passage in Romans, which, though it's sometimes difficult to get our heads around, it has several precious verses that inspire us and give us confidence. And some of us may be lacking in confidence at this time of uncertainty and conflicting guidance about COVID-19. Yet the treasures in this passage in Romans remind us that Christians can be confident people, not in ourselves or in our circumstances, especially currently, but confident in the words, promises and actions of God Almighty and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Perhaps I ought to share at this point what the word confidence means. It's the feeling or belief that we can rely on someone or something. It's the opposite of being timid, uncertain and insecure. So we're going to look this morning at three things that we can be confident about. Firstly, we can be confident in prayer. This is verses 26, 27, and the second half of verse 34. Now, in the previous verses in this chapter, Paul has talked about creation waiting for the future glory to be revealed. And as we wait, Paul encourages us in this matter of prayer. Now, many, if not most, Christians find prayer difficult. Thousands of books have been written on the subject, and still we struggle. Most of us lack confidence in prayers, either the prayers we pray in our own quiet times or the tentative prayers we pray in public. It's an area most of us feel some measure of weakness in, and yet here Paul confidently says, the Spirit helps us. And we realise we're not the spiritual giants we would like to be. But praise God, even the spiritual giant like Paul recognised the profound truth that the Holy Spirit of God, he who is within us, himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Interceding means the act of praying on behalf of someone else. And whether it's a case of not knowing what to pray or not knowing how to pray, it is part of the Spirit's ministry to help each one of us in our prayers and intercessions. Indeed, Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, says, we have access to the Father through this same Spirit. Just think for a moment the wonder of this. The Holy Spirit of God living in our sinful natures, interceding for us and praying on our behalf. And we can be absolutely confident that his prayers come straight before God the Father because they are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Further on in Ephesians 3, Paul says that in Jesus we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And another lovely verse about confidence to inspire us is 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in his name, according to his will, he hears us. And of course, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what is the mind of God and what his will is, because he is God and he prays through us in line with God's will. And God doesn't do things by halves. Talk about a double blessing. We have not one, but two powerful intercessors. As 34b says, Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Wow. two really powerful prayers, both praying with us and through us. One inside us and one in heaven, both knowing exactly what God's will is and praying accordingly. So, though we may not know what to pray for, says Paul, we can be absolutely confident in the Spirit who helps us by praying in us and through us. Secondly, we can be confident in our predestination, purpose and call, verses 28 to 30. Now this next section starts with a verse that we often quote, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. The good things that Paul is talking about are not earthly things, it's not cars and riches and houses and holidays. It's actually the idea of conformity to Christ, bearing good fruit for the kingdom, and our final glorification. God works things together like the ingredients of a cake, producing something lovely to see and share as the end result. And even during this difficult time of the coronavirus pandemic, we can have confidence that God is working for our good to make us like Christ, to make us a fit bride for his son. And God will use all the different things that happen to us, good or bad, to train us and reshape us, to become more like Jesus. Perhaps you can think of back to a hard time in your life when things seemed to go wrong, but now looking back, you can see that God actually used that time to make you more like his son. Conforming and shaping can be painful. It means to comply, to become similar, to be shaped with the rough edges knocked away. A bit like people in prehistoric times who took a piece of flint and hammered and chipped and shaped it to become a useful and very sharp tool or weapon, as we can see there. In verse 29, the message says, "He, God, decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son." Can we honestly look at ourselves and say we conform to Christ? Do we think like him, act like him, pray like him, love like him? I expect God has got a lot of chipping away to do in all of us, until we look and behave more like Christ. And yet, God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, predestination is a really difficult topic to tackle this early in the morning. It was a topic hotly debated when I was a teenager. And it doesn't mean that God had a huge box of chocolates and he picks out the best, his favourite ones, the ones he likes the most. Far from it, because Paul said once, "I am the least of apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And if God were to look through the vast eons of time and pick out this one and that one, it would go completely against his love and mercy, which we see reflected in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And Peter, writing in his second letter, chapter 3, verse 9, says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Predestination is a breathtaking concept. Before the beginning of time, God knew us in a relational and loving sense. He planned for us to be with him in glory. Then at a particular time, he called us to have faith in him, by revealing his love in Christ Jesus. Then, as we responded to his love and believed in Jesus, then God justified us. He took our sin away through the blood of Jesus and declared us righteous and blameless. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. One commentator said that this is the most daring verse in the Bible, God is stating something as though it has already occurred. We have been glorified already. Again, the message explains that the Son stands first in the line of humanity, and after God made the decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. And that's where our confidence comes in this morning. We can be confident in the fact that God never made a mistake in calling sinners to repentance, and he has certainly not made a mistake in calling you into his family, and now refers to you as his child and his friend. In the days of Jesus, young men would attach themselves to a particular rabbi and become his disciples. But it was actually the opposite for Jesus, because he said he chose each of his 12 disciples personally. He said in John 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit." And he chooses us, you and me. And once we have responded in faith and belief, then we can have utter confidence that we have been called and chosen. As Peter, writing in his first letter, says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." And later, Paul, writing to the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, says, "He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." And here's that word predestination again in the next verse, chapter 5. "In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." What powerful words to give us confidence of our place in God. What treasures of the kingdom. We can have confidence that we are called according to his purposes. And that purpose was for each one of us to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's been strange this week as I've prepared. It's a bit like having a new car, and you see everywhere you go, you see that same car, make and model. And I began to see this word confident in so many other different places, including in an advert for face masks on my computer, as well as lots in the Bible. So here's another verse from Paul in Philippians 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So this morning, we can be absolutely confident in the fact that God has predestined and chosen us. Lastly, we can be confident in God's power to save us. The last section, verses 31 to 39. And in this last section, Paul asks four questions. If God is for us, who can be against us? Will God graciously give us all things? Who will bring charges against God's elect? And who can condemn us? And he answers these questions with the truths found in the previous verses. God is all powerful, so why be afraid of any opposition, whether it comes from humans or spiritual powers or even Satan himself? And if God has already given us his most precious possession, his own Son, why worry about our own needs? And if God, who purposed our glory, has declared us righteous, why listen to anyone, including ourselves, who suggests that we are still guilty or unforgiven? And if Jesus doesn't condemn us, his shed blood means that we will never be found guilty on the day of judgment. So Paul leads us to this joyous conclusion, namely that there is no opposition from unbelievers or angels or even Satan himself can ever succeed in separating us from God, because God is for us, verse 31. Paul gives a long list of things that on the surface may seem to have the power to separate us from God's love. But he is not only confident, he is absolutely convinced that we are more than conquerors, and nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It just can't be done. So this morning we can be absolutely confident in God's power to save us. So some final thoughts. At this time of continued worries over COVID-19, we are naturally unsettled and concerned both for ourselves and for others. And we are uncertain of what the future holds, and we may well feel insecure this morning. In fact, someone posted on Facebook this week, "Strip us of false security and reclothe us in your praise." There is no power on earth or in heaven which can stop God loving us now. Every dimension of creation, life and death, the invisible powers of the supernatural, and everything that exists in time and space is subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So our confidence is not in ourselves or what we can do, but our confidence is in God, who has given us the Holy Spirit to help us pray. So are you confident enough to approach prayer with renewed vigour and enthusiasm? And our confidence is in God's purposes and plans as he chooses us and calls us to himself and shapes us to be like Christ. So are we confident enough in his calling to now allow him to knock away the sharp edges and corners? And our confidence is in God's awesome power to save us from any accusations and threats. So are we confident enough to stop worrying that we're not good enough for heaven or we haven't really been forgiven? Are we confident enough to be secure in our faith, knowing that nothing can separate us from God's love? Well, what amazing treasures from God's word. And we can totally rely on every word and every promise. What an awesome God. Hallelujah. Amen.